When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
WBSM presents The Tim Weisberg Show, streaming live on WBSM.com and the WBSM app. Call 508-996-0500. Send us app chat messages and open line voicemails using the WBSM app. Now, The Tim Weisberg Show.
Good morning. Paul Santos filling in for Tim Weisberg on what is going to be a beautiful Friday morning here in late August. Temperature already up to 64 degrees. It was 58 when I first arrived here at the WBSM studios. And as you heard, temperatures are going to close in on 80. Not too humid right now, so enjoy this beautiful day if you can. You get out of work a little bit later, it'll still be sunny for a little while, although if you notice how that sun keeps going down, 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 around 7:30 now. But long way to go before the summer comes to a conclusion. If you'd like to get involved in any of the discussions that we have been involved in this morning, please do. We are at 508-996-0500. People really like this car thing. What was the first car that you drove? Or maybe you watched some of the conventions. I know people like to talk about the conventions and stuff like that. And I want to just say one little thing before I go back to the phones. The thing that I dislike about politics, I think, is that people tend to automatically have a side, and then if their candidate is in office, when something good happens, they take credit for it. If the other candidate, the person that they didn't support, or the person from the other party is in office, when something bad happens, they try to blame that person. And I would venture to say that not all the time, but most of the time when things happen, many times, perhaps even a majority of the time, it really didn't have anything to do with who happened to be president. And so, you know, obviously if something is good that's going on, they're going to take credit for it. Of course they are. If something bad happens, they're going to say, well, it wasn't my fault. It was the person that was here before me. You know, all that kind of stuff. But then when you peel back the layers, a lot of times there's a complicated reason why something happened. You know, the inflation, for example, clearly had to do with the pandemic. Didn't have anything to do with who the president happened to be. If Donald Trump had been reelected, we still would have had the inflation. Why? Well, because during the pandemic, the decision was made because people weren't working and they were really struggling. They were really struggling to get by. The decision was made, which everybody agreed with. Trump agreed with it. The Congress agreed with it. The House of Representatives, the Senate, everybody, to send out those stimulus checks. And by the way, we didn't just have inflation in the United States. We had inflation all over the world. So it wasn't the United States' fault that they had inflation all over the world. The United States actually had lower inflation than all these other countries, as a matter of fact. And so, you know, who happened to be president really didn't have anything to do with it. But yet we hear over and over and over again, it had to do with who happened to be there. And then I think somebody called one day when I was listening and they said, oh, well, you know, this inflation, right, it was very similar to that Jimmy Carter inflation. You know, when Jimmy Carter was there, we had the inflation with Jimmy Carter. Oh, really? Well, I got to tell you, I started following politics maybe when I was about 10, 12 years old. You know, I was president then, Richard Nixon. And right after the oil embargo of 1973, there was terrible inflation coming in. And he tried freezing price controls, wage and price controls, which, by the way, I disagree with the Democrats on that. That doesn't work. And I don't think that would ever pass Congress. So if they wanted to do that, that's not going to work, right? So they tried that wage and price control stuff. Doesn't work. But anyway, that was 1974. And then in 1975, when Gerald Ford was president, he had this saying. It was called WIN, W-I-N, whip inflation now. So we had terrible inflation in 75. And then it got worse and it got a little better in 76 and 77. Then in 78 and 79, it got horrendous. And one of the things that happened was, you know, with the independence of the Federal Reserve, Alan Greenspan got in there, tightened the money supply, and that got inflation under control. And from there all the way to the pandemic, we had basically no inflation. The inflation was low, very low, single digits. Now, that's whether you had Bill Clinton president, That's whether you had George W. Bush president. That was whether you had Barack Obama president and Donald Trump. And now that we're 3 years past the pandemic, the inflation is back to where it was before. So it really didn't have anything to do with who happened to be president. So why don't we just, you know, get off that and then, you know, try to be problem solvers. That's what I would say. But anyway, we have a whole bunch of callers here. So let's see. What do we want to talk about? Do we want to talk about the cars? Or do we want to talk about some of this other stuff? Good morning. You're next on WBSM.
Yes. How you doing?
Good. How are you today?
Good. My first car was a 57 Chevy.
Mm-hmm.
It came out of a junkyard. My uncle owned the body shop, so they fixed the body, and my father and my uncle put a new engine in it, and I had it for about 10 years.
Oh, wow. 10 years you drove that, huh? You know, the 57 Chevy is considered to be one of the all-time classic cars.
And I should have put it in a garage when I bought my next car,
mm-hmm.
but I didn't, like a fool. I traded it in and got nothing for it, hardly.
You could have made money on that baby.
If I would have had it still, you're probably 100% right.
Did you have a chance to go down to 50s night?
Oh, I go down to 50s night every year.
Oh, look at the cars that they had down there. It's so much fun looking at those cars.
Yes, it is. Yeah. Brings back a lot of memories.
All right. Hey, thanks a lot for the call.
You have a good day.
You too. Good morning. You're next on WBSM.
Hey there.
Hi.
How you doing?
Good. How are you today?
Yeah. Hey, not bad. Yourself?
Good.
All right. Hey, two things. On the inflation, I partially agree with what you're saying is that there are things that happen mm-hmm. regardless of who's in leadership. But with the post-COVID, the Inflation Reduction Act wasn't necessary. And when it was written in and signed, it was $2.5 or $2.4 trillion. We were talking about reeling in the money sources in the mm-hmm. past to reduce inflation.
So you think it exacerbated the situation, you would say, right?
Yeah, mm-hmm. that was a decision that was made. I also think that Afghanistan withdrawal is clearly...
they screwed that up. Oh, there's no question about it. I agree with you.
Yeah, I wish we had just kept Bagram Air Base because it was the... defender that we needed between China and what was going on there.
But you know, on the inflation thing too, right? You know, we had inflation all over the world, right? So nothing that the United States did made inflation in England and France and Portugal and Spain and Italy and all this other. It was a global situation in all fairness to the United States, you know.
No, it is global, but the U.S. is one of the leading commerce markets in the world.
Well,
and
true.
When our indicators go down the next morning, they go off in China, in Japan, and on their Nikkei average and everything else. So, yeah, I mean, there are decisions that are made. I think that the trope that the person, blaming somebody for something that's going on every time is wrong because a lot of things are in play.
Well, but, you know, we've had times where we spent money, you know, during World War II, we went on a big spending spree to defend the war and we never had any inflation. So, I think a certain amount of factors came together that was so unusual. You know, we had this pandemic and some people think that we overreacted to it. And maybe we did. Maybe we overreacted to it. But it was the first time we ever had anything like that in 100 years. And so, you know, now you're talking about sending out stimulus checks, right? So you had to print the money to send out the stimulus checks. And that happened even when Trump was there sending out the stimulus checks. So,
he signed the first one for sure.
Yeah, and he liked the fact that he had his signature on it too.
No, I know.
All right, I got to move on. Thanks a lot for the call. Yeah. Appreciate it. All right, hello. You're next on WBSM.
Good morning, Paul. How you doing?
Hi, good. How are you today?
I'm doing very well, thank you. My first car that I drove in 1979 was a 1968 Pontiac Le Mans.
Ah, 1968 Pontiac Le Mans. Oh, I remember that car.
Yes.
You know, my wife had one of those. My wife had a Le Mans.
Oh, really?
Yeah. She told me about how she had this Le Mans. It was before I met her and everything. Well, that was the same year as my car. My car was a 68 Buick Wildcat. They were big, strong. Those engines, big V8. Oh, my God. The things were so powerful.
Unbelievable.
That 1968 Buick, if I got in the car and I stepped on the gas too hard, the thing would peel out. Just like, you know, without even trying to peel out, you would just peel out because the thing was so powerful, you know? Yeah.
It went right to the rear wheels.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. So.
All right. Hey, thanks a lot. I'll put that one on the list.
Yeah, and we still have it.
You still have it? Oh, baby, you
still have it.
You refurbished it?
Yes. I did. Like, unlike the other gentleman, when I bought another car, we put that car in the garage and took it out many years later and put it back together.
Is this a car that you're able to bring out to car shows and stuff like that, or no?
Yes, we have that, and we have a 1967 Skylark convertible.
Oh, a Skylark. Oh, man.
Yes.
Wow. There was some similarity to the Skylark and the Wildcat. I mean, the Wildcat was a family car, but the front of it looks the same. Yeah, the front of it looks the same.
Right.
Yeah. All right. Hey, thanks a lot.
All right. Yep. Bye.
All right. 508-996-0500. Like I said, you know, whatever topic you feel like doing today, maybe you want to take a little break from the politics, which I fully support, taking a break from the politics a little bit. People have their views. People are probably not going to change each other's minds. As long as you're open to be persuaded, just always be open to be persuaded. You know, I think that's the lawyer in me. I can have a certain side, but if you show me evidence that shows that the other side has a point, I'm going to say, hey, you make a good point. I'm not going to get on a hill and fight to the death that I was right from the beginning. You know, don't do that. Be open to be persuaded. And as far as this car list, this is a great car list. What was your first car, right? What was the first car that you drove? There's a certain amount of romanticism for the first car that you drove, you know? I mean, I remember I had a PT Cruiser, right? And when the PT Cruiser first came out, that was a pretty cool car. They were trying to imitate the cars on the 40s and the 50s. So I got one. I drove it around. It was pretty cool. And then the car became old, and I gave it to my son, and my son was driving it for a while. But then for some reason, it became the most uncool car out there, and people would make funny of having a PT Cruiser. So I remember when they first came out, people were asking for them so much, you couldn't get it. You couldn't get one. And then all of a sudden, it became such an uncool car. So that's the way it goes. You know, sometimes something's in style, and then something goes out of style. We've seen that happen so many times before. Well, anyway, great to be with you this morning. We're already up to 64 degrees outside. We're going to be hitting 78, 79. Maybe we'll hit 80 before all is said and done here along the South Coast. So enjoy it while you can. I'm Paul Santos in for Tim here at WBSM. We'll be right back. I want to get you up and moving. First thing in the morning here on a Friday. The weekend is coming. Oh, yes, it's ladies' night. And the feeling's right. That's right. Paul Santos in for Tim Weisberg here at 1420 WBSM. Glad to be with you this morning here. A lot of people talking about their first cars. And they're really enjoying thinking back and romanticizing about their first car. Do you want to talk about the first car? Or do you want to talk about some of the other stuff that we mentioned earlier? Let's see. Good morning. You're next on WBSM.
Good morning, Paul.
Hello.
Hi. Well, anyway, the music's been very good on Fridays downtown. It's awesome.
Oh, I love those. Yeah, those concerts are great. And I think they had like a rhythm and blues type band playing all that dance music from the 80s and 90s. Just great stuff.
Last week was a dynamite band. They were from Maine. Could she sing?
Mm-hmm. Were you out there on the dance floor, huh? Were you?
A little bit. The girl with trumpet, imagine, she did so good with two horns, saxophone player, big band.
Well, as I've said before, when I hear a band that has the trumpets and the horns, I saw this band Get the Funk out, and they were just fantastic. I mean, you put those horns up there. I mean, you have the bass guitar, you have the lead guitar, you have the drums and the lead singer and all that. When you throw up a horn section, you just can't beat it.
Yeah, but a girl on top of it playing it was awesome. I'm going tonight. Anyways, about the cars, my first one was my father gave me his old Volkswagen Bug.
Oh, I remember those. Those were really popular.
I loved it because it was so cheap on gas, you know?
Yes.
I ran it into the ground. I liked it. I got another one. That one was green. Then I got a blue one, a baby blue one. And I think I got one more. And then I turned to the Volkswagen Rabbit.
Mm-hmm.
That was a real good car. It ran good.
Do you remember what year the Volkswagen Bug was?
No, but it was round. The round one, that's out of, you know, it's an antique now.
Yeah, I remember back in the late 60s and early 70s, it was almost like a car that hippies would drive, you know? They were like, you know, thinking about the environment and thinking about trying to live very cheap, and you wanted to get a car that wasn't a gas guzzler like some of these other cars that we drove. And that Bug, that was a very popular car.
I was kind of hippie-ish. I went through a hippie little hippie phase.
Is that right? You were a hippie?
Yeah, a little bit.
Wow.
And then what's the other one I had? I had this one was nice. It was a MGB GT. a Tora. It had the back. It's a real antique now, and it would be a classic. It would be worth a lot of money.
No, I don't remember that one.
Oh, well, it had a fastback, and it was beautiful. I had radial Michelins on it with they had real chrome spiky wheels. It could go in that show. It was so beautiful.
Nice. Hey, thanks a lot for the call. I appreciate it. I got to move on because I got some other people waiting, and we have a news break.
Paul.
But thank you so much. Thank you so much for calling. 508-996-0500. Okay. And let's say good morning. You're next on WBSM.
Good morning, Paul.
Hi.
My first car was a 55 Chevy Bel Air with a 327 V8 in it with a Hurst 4-shift.
Wow. Did you bring that car down to 50s night? You don't have it now. Yeah, that's right. You don't have it now.
I wish I had kept it. It would have been worth a lot of money.
Oh, those Chevy Bel Airs, they're very, very popular in those car shows. Right up there with the 57 Chevy.
It was awesome with the Hurst 4-shift in it. It had a truck transmission in it, too.
Now, that one have the fins or no?
No.
Right.
No.
I remember that other gentleman called. I remember in the 60s, especially the early 60s and into the late 60s, those fins were really popular, and it was really true that the car companies were trying to outfin each other. I mean, it was those things were freaking huge.
Yeah, they were tanks, but I mean, they were great cars. They were solid.
Yeah. All right. Thanks very much. All right. 508-996-0500. Here's a topic that I didn't think was going to have a lot of traction. It's been like the best topic all morning. People are calling to tell us about their first car. Good morning. You're next on WBSM.
Cars you have in, you have the best traction around.
What did you have?
The first car I had was a 73 Country Squire wagon, which I bought for my foster family. But the first car I ever drove around, I was 13. I drove my brother's 69 Bel Air.
Oh, wow. Another Bel Air. But I remember those station wagons. Boy, those things were huge.
Yeah.
Those things were tanks.
And then all of a sudden I found out, this is a trip. I don't know how this happened. My foster family didn't even know it. When they sold it to me, I went to go get a service and stuff. And my mechanic looks at me with this big smile. And he said, "You obviously like a lot of power." And I'm like, "What?" It had a 396 in it. It wasn't the original engine. Somebody put a 396 in it. Like you get out of like a Malibu.
Yeah, I remember that was popular. People would take engines, like the car would get old, and rather than trade the car in or do something with the car, you could take an engine and put it in the car. You don't see that now.
And with Chevy, you had the 307, the 327.
Oh, my brother had
a small block 350.
Yeah, the small block. My brother had a Chevy Nova, which I also drove, and I think that had that 307. But that was a powerful 307. You know, that thing had juice. That baby could go, and it was red.
Hey,
we used to call it.
My phone number, Paul. This is Phil.
Yes,
my phone number on the panel.
Well, right now it just says wireless caller, but I recognized your voice anyway.
Okay, well, because it's a new phone with a new phone number. Want to get together with you about the football team and on your show for Monday night.
All right, yeah. Well, text me at my number.
We're guaranteed to go into the playoffs, even if we lose our next two games. But if we win this Saturday, we're guaranteed home field through the whole playoffs. We'll be number one seed.
Are you going to come by Monday night?
Yeah.
Okay, great. Oh, good. I'll be glad to see you.
Okay,
all right.
We'll take care of it from that point on.
Fantastic. All right, Phil, thank you very much.
Be well.
Bye-bye. All right, 508-996-0500. That caller is alluding to my television show, the Paul Santos Live Show. Let me just put this caller on hold right here. The Paul Santos Live Show, which is a TV show that I have, which is patterned after the original Tonight Show. And it's a fun show. It's an upbeat show. I come out and do a monologue, believe it or not, like Johnny Carson or David Letterman or something like that. We have a sidekick, Joanna Raposa, who is our new comedy director. We have a band called the Paul Santos Live Show Band. And it's Gary Langevin, Artie DeMello playing sax, and we have fun, we have laughs, we always have a singer, and we always have a comic, and then we usually have a straight interview guest, and we record the show every Monday night, 7 o'clock, at Mikey B's, which is a great little family restaurant up there at that triangle where Cushion Avenue and Ashley Boulevard meet. It used to be the old Sports Garden Pub right near the old Freights. So come on by and see the show live, which I think you'd get a kick out of it. And by the way, we have an episode coming up this Sunday morning, 10:30 on ABC6. That's where the show airs, 10:30 Sunday morning, ABC6. You can also see it Wednesday nights on Channel 95 in the New Bedford area, and you can see it on YouTube and Facebook. But we're very proud of the fact that it's on ABC6, Sunday mornings at 10:30. We have an episode coming up this week, which was one of our better episodes. It's a lot of fun, so check it out if you can. News time, we go to Phil in the newsroom.
It's a wrap on the Democratic National Convention as Kamala Harris accepts the nomination. Trump floating a special guest at a rally today and a new destination for Beatles fans.
From the WBSM newsroom, this is WBSM News.
Vice President Kamala Harris has officially accepted her party's nomination for president. Harris took the stage Thursday night at the Democratic National Convention in Chicago, touching on a wide variety of topics, formally accepting the nomination.
On behalf of everyone whose story could only be written in the greatest nation on earth, I accept your nomination.
Leaning heavily into her background as a district attorney and attorney general, Harris said she was used to being underestimated, but that the future is always worth fighting for. Former President Trump reacting to Vice President Harris's speech Thursday.
She's not having success. I'm having success. I'm doing great with the Hispanic voters. I'm doing great with black men. I'm doing great with women because women want safety. They want safety.
On Truth Social, Trump posted in real time during the speech, questioning why Harris hadn't already accomplished policies she was promising. He said she's had 3.5 years and has done nothing but harm. Trump later went on Fox News, where he claimed Harris didn't talk about crime or how, quote, 70% of our people are living in poverty, a number that the census shows is closer to 12%. The Trump campaign is teasing a special guest for the former president's rally in Arizona today. There have been reports independent presidential candidate Robert F. Kennedy Jr. is considering dropping out of the race and endorsing Trump. It's been nearly 2 months since Texas Governor Greg Abbott sent a busload of illegal immigrants to sanctuary cities. A spokesperson for Abbott attributes fewer busloads to fewer illegal border crossings. The spokesperson said illegal crossings are down 85% since the start of the governor's Operation Lone Star border security initiative. Both the U.S. and Canadian economies could be affected by a possible railroad shutdown in Canada. Railway companies Canadian National and Canadian Pacific Kansas City locked out about 10,000 Teamsters employees after labor contract negotiations broke down. Canadian Minister of Labor Steve McKinnon and U.S. Acting Labor Secretary Julie Hsu have been discussing the issue. Next time you're in Liverpool, consider a stay at a Beatles Airbnb. Original Beatles drummer Pete Best and his brother converted rooms above the Casbah Coffee Club, where the Beatles reportedly played 40 shows. Each unit is named for one of the five original Beatles, Best, Harrison, Lennon, McCartney, and bassist Stuart Sutcliffe, and runs for $200 a night.
WBSM Sports.
Red Sox start a 7-game homestand tonight, looking for their third win in a row when they host the Arizona Diamondbacks at Fenway Park. And Patriots wrap the preseason Sunday when they visit the Washington Commanders. That game right here on WBSM.
Now your ABC6 South Coast forecast.
Happy Friday, everybody. Wrapping up the work week with absolutely gorgeous weather out there. Not as chilly as yesterday morning, but temperatures around 60 under mostly sunny skies throughout the day. This afternoon, temperatures climbing to the upper 70s. Mostly clear overnight, 60 upper 70s as we head into Saturday, Sunday. Sunday, the humidity increases to give way to chance for showers. On Monday, from the UBC 6 Weather Center, I'm meteorologist Ceci Del Carmen on New Bedford News Talk Station 1420 WBSM.
I'm Phil Devitt for WBSM News. Stay up to date with New Bedford's News Talk Station WBSM and get all of our content and breaking news alerts with the WBSM app.
Down.
My favorite Earth, Wind, and Fire song. I told you I was an old club DJ back at Smugglers and some other places around the area. Good times, like they say. Good times. Good times. Yeah, some great music there from Earth, Wind, and Fire. You put horns in a band, and it makes all the difference in the world. What's on your mind? Good morning. You're on WBSM.
Hello.
Hi.
My first car was a Gremlin.
Oh, yeah. The Gremlin. Oh, people were always commenting that that was an ugly car.
I thought it was cute.
You remember how people used to say it was ugly?
No, I never knew that.
Oh, that's a AMC car, right?
Yes.
Yeah, yeah, right.
And it's not a car for the winter or if there's slippery, icy roads. Mm-hmm. I would have to fight with that car, even though I had the best tires that were a well-advertised name. And it would not stop on any incline. And I mentioned it to my neighbor. And he said, you're a girl. You don't know how to stop a car.
Ooh.
So he took the car and he went right through onto the boulevard.
Uh-huh.
And he goes, you're right. So he had a railroad tie down his cellar. And he put it in the back of the... It wasn't really a trunk. It was just a roomy area in the back of a Gremlin. And he put the railroad tie in there. Might have weighed over 80 pounds.
Mm-hmm.
And if I ever got into an accident, I would have been hit by a railroad tie. And people would figure, like, how did she get hit with a railroad tie?
Yeah, I remember that was common back then. I knew a guy had a pickup truck, and they would put, like, cement blocks in the back of the pickup truck to give it more traction. You think back about it now, I mean, you don't do things like that now. I mean, you have all-wheel drive, you have other options. But back then, they wanted to give the car more weight. What year was that car, by the way?
77, but I was borrowing my family's cars before that.
Yeah.
But this was my first car.
Yeah, and there is something about that first car that kind of stays in your mind. You get nostalgic about it, don't you?
Yes. I have a picture of it in the blizzard of 78. You almost couldn't see the whole thing. It was almost all under the snow.
Oh, that was my 68 Buick Wildcat. I was at New Bedford High School. The blizzard kind of hit us all of a sudden, and we jumped in that car, and all my friends jumped in the car. It was really great because we put like 8 people in the car, and mm-hmm. we really couldn't fit. So one of the girls that I was interested in sat on my lap as I drove out of the car because it couldn't fit. And I'm like, I like this blizzard of 78. I'm liking this. So we drove through the blizzard of 78 with my 1968 Buick Wildcat. It was a lot of fun.
Yep, good
right.
memories.
Thank you very much for the call. All right, there's a topic again. Like I said, I didn't think this one was going to take some traction, but these are the topics that sometimes are fun, you know, because it doesn't matter what your ideological position is on anything with something like this. I think one time I came on quite a while back and I was talking about, you know, your favorite restaurant growing up and all the different restaurants that closed in the area. And all those kind of topics can be fun to drop in once in a while. So we appreciate that. If you want to talk about this more or you want to talk about anything else that we've talked about this morning, give us a call, 508-996-0500. Paul Santos filling in for Tim Weisberg on New Bedford's News Talk Station, WBSM. Playing all his old music, it would not be right not to slide Tavares in there. The brothers Tavares just had the street named after them in the south end of New Bedford. What a great tribute. They also did the same thing in Providence. Too bad we lost Ralph. Ralph Tavares, who I got to know as an attorney, because after he was done traveling around, the touring got old and tiring. And then he ended up with a 30-year career as a court officer. Spent a lot of time in New Bedford District Court, Fall River District Court. I know he moved up in rank. I think he might have been the chief court officer by the time he left. But what a terrific gentleman. And then when he retired from the courts, he went back and started singing again. He joined his brothers and traveled around a little bit and then all of a sudden passed away. I believe he was just about to turn 80 when he passed away a couple of years back from a heart attack in his sleep. But what a great gentleman. Had a chance to chat with Chubby when he came up here. And Tiny Tavares is great because when I asked him about his connection to New Bedford, he's like, I was born in St. Luke's Hospital. What are you talking about in New Bedford? I'm like, yeah, that's right. That's our hometown, New Bedford, Massachusetts, and we're happy. We're also happy that Massachusetts is ranked number one place to live in the country. Now, we always like to poke fun at our own city and this and that, but there's a reason why Massachusetts is number one. Massachusetts is number one because of its great education system. It has the highest share of residents with health insurance coverage at 97%, which, by the way, Mitt Romney was part of an agreement with the legislature on how to get people covered. The lowest premature death rate in the country, the lowest share of adults in fair or poor health. The state ranks first for the quality of its school systems. It's the fourth best high school graduation rate in the country at over 90%. It has the highest percentage of population age 25 years and over with a bachelor's degree. Massachusetts is home to the most educated workforce in the country. Well, you know, I'm pro-education. I'm an educated person myself. Had the great fortune of being able to, of course, graduate high school, then do my undergraduate work, then went to law school, became an attorney, was a prosecutor. I have a little bit in common with Kamala Harris, actually. Spent time as a prosecutor. I don't know if she did criminal defense, but I did criminal defense for a while, juvenile court, housing court. So Massachusetts is first, and you know what? Second, Florida. Yeah, people from Massachusetts like to visit Florida and come back. We have a lot of snowbirds that are half in Massachusetts and half in Florida. So Florida's right up there. Number three is New Jersey. Number four is Utah. Number five is New Hampshire. Now, you want to go to the bottom? Let's see, the bottom five, Louisiana, New Mexico, Arkansas, Alaska, Nevada, Mississippi, Oklahoma. Boy, a lot of red states at the bottom there, huh? A lot of red states at the bottom. Anyway, 508-996-0500. While I have a chance, we asked that question about your first car because I had to finally trade my Chrysler in. I got another one, but my first car was a 1968 Buick Wildcat, and people were calling in. I had a Pontiac Catalina, I had a Datsun, a 47 Studebaker is the oldest that we've heard so far, an 85 Buick Riviera. We had a 57 Chevy, a 68 Pontiac Le Mans, 67 Ford Cortina, 1966 Mercury Comet, an 88 Monte Carlo, a Fiat, a Cadillac Blitz, a 1960 Plymouth Fury with a V8 engine and the big fins, the little VW Bug that came out with the hippies, the 73 Country Squire, 1969 Bel Air. So all kinds of great cars. There is something about that first car that kind of stays with you, and I think that's why that particular subject took hold. Well, I wanted to defend the Democrats a little bit. People know I come out and say I'm a moderate Democrat, and I underline the word moderate. The thing is the people that are either far left or far right, but particularly far right, they'll go and say, well, Santos, you're a liberal. I'm like, well, you're falling off the cliff, conservative. So to you, I look like a liberal, but I agree with the conservatives on a lot of stuff. But I have to tell you, I hear people saying, well, you know, the Democrats are in awful law and order, and the Democrats, you know, don't like to see people, you know, get arrested and charged with crimes, and they're soft and they're this and that. And then at the same sentence, somebody called up and they were like, well, you know, it's a good thing they put that dangerousness hearing in there where, you know, if there's a hearing and there's a determination made that this person is dangerous, if we let them out prior to trial, which is a very serious thing to hold somebody before they've been convicted of anything. But if they are shown to be dangerous after a hearing, a judge can hold them for up to 90 days while the prosecution gets their case together. That's a dangerousness hearing. So somebody called up who was very conservative and was like, oh, yeah, you know, Sam Sutter was a big part of that. Yeah, he was. He was in favor of that. And Sam Sutter, Democrat. Tom Quinn, current district attorney, prosecuted Aaron Hernandez, has successfully prosecuted some real dangerous criminals. Tom Quinn, Democrat. Chris Markey spent time in a DA's office, one of the top attorneys in the area. I know him very well. I worked with Chris Markey. I know Chris Markey. He's my representative. He is a Democrat. He's supporting Kamala Harris. John Mitchell, whether you like him or not, he's a moderate Democrat supporting Kamala Harris. These aren't people that are like, you know, on some kind of a fringe. You know, these are moderate Democrats, reasonable Democrats. And, you know, when we have reasonable Republicans like Charlie Baker or somebody like that, a lot of bipartisan things can get done. And, you know, that's what we really should be pursuing is the bipartisanship. And when something comes and it's bipartisan, it's written by a Democrat and a Republican. I remember when Marco Rubio, he was in the Gang of Eight. They could have fixed this immigration system a long time ago. And when it came down to try to put it through, they were like, oh, Marco Rubio, he's a traitor. He sold out to the Democrats. No, he didn't. He went in there and he negotiated with the Democrats. And the Democrats and the Republicans came up with a plan. And they couldn't get together and put it through. So as far as I'm concerned, you know, Rubio did a good job there. Because we're not going to agree, but we have to come up with the best solution we can. You know, somebody has an idea over here and somebody has an idea over there. You have to kind of put it together and come up with the best plan you can. Well, anyway, I'm glad people were talking about the cars because that was a little bit of a break from all of the political stuff. If you want to get in on what your first car was, we'll have a few minutes after we come back from this break. And then I'm going to tell you about the Paul Santos Live TV show. DVR it now, Sunday morning, 10:30, ABC6, Angela Kay, an unbelievable singer, was on the show, and the comedian, he was hilarious. His name is Deepak Agarwal, and he is from India, and he was absolutely fall off the couch hilarious. So it's a good way to start a Sunday. It's also a good thing to DVR. So try it out. The Paul Santos Live Show, Sunday morning, 10:30 on ABC6. We'll be right back. Is everybody in a good mood tonight? Yes, that's the way the Paul Santos Live television show begins. Think Johnny Carson. Think Jay Leno. Think David Letterman. Very proud of that show because we started out, it was really bare bones. And now we have a producer-director by the name of Aaron Cadieux from Bristol County Media. And we always have comedians. We always have interview guests. This Sunday, 10:30, ABC 6, our guest will be a great singer, Angela Kay, who also sings with the KG Express. She is phenomenal, and a great comic by the name of Deepak Agbaral. So put that on Sunday morning, 10:30, ABC 6. All right, try to make this quick because we're going to be up against the news. And I say good morning, you're on WBSM.
Good morning, Paul.
Hi, how are you today? Man.
What's up? I'm all right. What's up with the Democrats offering free vasectomies and abortions outside the DNC? What's up with the Democrat demonic party?
Is that true?
That's true.
I was
in the New York Post.
I mean.
It's true. They have a van, Planned Parenthood is outside in a truck.
Well, it may be. Offering. I don't know. You got to be careful what, you know, sometimes you read something and it may be true or maybe not.
This is true, man.
All right. Anyway,
this was on other news stations.
So what else?
The Democrats for you. Demon rats for you.
Come on now. Don't say demon rats.
Come to our convention. Your kids and neuter you, man.
No, but I'm on down. I'm a Democrat and I'm not a, what did you say? A what crat? What was that name that you said?
Dude, you need to jump that ship, Paul.
Well, I'm a moderate.
That thing is sailing for some horrible seas.
Yeah, but you could say that about the Republicans, too.
Yeah, but the Democrats are more in your face.
All right, I got it. Yeah, but
I think they're a little bit, both parties are stanking the place up.
Well, that's true.
I think the Democrats have the biggest stink bomb.
What was that name that you said? You said Democrat, but you said it differently. You came up
demon
with
Demon Rats, maybe.
Oh, Demon Rat?
They want to be called the Democrat Tick Party now.
Come
right?
on, man.
That's what they are, a blood-sucking parasite on the underbelly.
Come on,
of freedom.
Hey, wait a minute. Hold on. I'm not a blood-sucking parasite. Neither is Tom Quinn. Neither is Tom Quinn.
Party.
No, but neither is Tom Quinn, neither is Chris Markey, these are highly educated people who look and they say, well, you know what, I kind of agree with this side a little bit, and so they come to their decision, you know, in a fashion that I think is appropriate. I don't think you should be name-calling them, you know. I mean, it's kind of fun. It's kind of like a first-grade thing to do, and, you know, like Trump does a crooked...
When you're offering abortions outside of your convention and vasectomies, you've reached a new low, man. You really have reached a new low.
Well, abortions I wouldn't want to see outside of the convention. The vasectomy, well, there are probably some people out there that should have had a vasectomy. But anyway, hey, I always appreciate your call. Call again when I'm on.
Thank you, man.
All right, thank you very much. That gentleman always calls and disagrees with me, but he does it in kind of a fun way. But I don't like the name calling. You know, I mean, hey, we can name call just, you know, joking around here on the radio. But that's one thing about Trump, right? He's always like, hey, there's Crooked Hillary. Oh, there's Lying Ted. There's Lying Ted. Yeah, you know, there's Little Marco. You know, who's that guy that's going to interview me? Judge Stepanopoulos. You know, I mean, come on, for God's sakes. I mean, when Reagan was running against, say, Walter Mondale, right? And I told you, I was a Reagan Democrat. I voted for Reagan. He didn't call him, like, you know, knucklehead, crazy Walter Mondale. And they didn't say, oh, that's, Dumbo Ronald Reagan. You know, there was a certain decorum when Gerald Ford debated, when Reagan debated, when Mondale debated, even when you get to the next level with George Bush and Gore and John Kerry and all stuff like that. They didn't say things like, you're a knucklehead and you're a crazy person. All right, this is going to have to be about a one-minute call. Good morning. You're on WBSM.
Hello?
Yes, it's you.
Yes, I got the perfect name for the... Mamala's running mate.
Okay. What is
it? His first name is Tim. His first name's Tim, correct?
Yes. Tim Walls.
Tim Jong Walls.
Tim Jong Walls. All right. We haven't got time to get into a debate, but I appreciate the call. Thank you.
All right.
Come on, man. What are we doing that for? Hey, you know what Trump said about Kim Jong-un? He was like, oh, yeah, we had a love affair. Me and Kim Jong-un, we had a love affair. Yeah, we had a love affair. You know, he misses me if you want to say the truth, you know. I mean, we could go back and forth making fun of everybody. Sleepy Joe, there goes Sleepy Joe. But you know what? How come the Democrats never say, well, here comes that orange-faced fatso with a bad comb over. Hey, you know what I mean? Like, you could make fun of the other guy too, what he looks like, what he sounds like, you know? I can poke fun of the things that he said, but, you know, to make fun of somebody's looks, you know what I mean? Like, somebody said that Tim Walz looked like Chris Farley when he came out and he was spinning around so bubbly and all that. Well, but you could say things about Trump too. But anyway, I appreciate the calls, especially the calls about the cars. That was a lot of fun. I think I'm off now for a while. I mean, I had me scheduled for all these fill-ins, but I don't know the next time I'm going to be on. But I really appreciate the calls from everybody, even that last guy, not the last guy, the guy before the last guy. He calls all the time. We don't agree on anything, but we have a civil conversation and we joke back and forth, and I appreciate that too. So thank you to Michael Rock. Thank you to Tim Weisberg. Don't forget, Paul Santos Live TV show, Sunday morning, 10:30 on ABC6. Great singer Angela Kay and great comic Deepak Agarwal were on that show. That was a fun, fun, funny show. So we got the news, and then Brian Thomas is actually...
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.